And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
The Eternal Light. The National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations present The Eternal Light, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our program today, The Guardian Angel of Genesee County, was written by Mark Siegel.
I don't like to gossip about another angel, but that Gabriel, really, there's a limit. Threatening to clip my wings and demote me to angel junior grade just for a thing like this. Well, all I can say is...
That's a Gale.
Yes, Gabriel?
Silence! I'm considering your case.
There, you see? An angel can't even think anymore, not even to himself. Next thing you know, there won't be any freedom of thought in heaven. It's undemocratic, that's what it is. It's...
Dr. Gale, for the last time, stop that earthly grumbling.
Yes, sir. As I was saying, it was just a little thing, really. And now there's all this hubbub and commotion up here just because...
Dr. Gale.
Yes, sir.
Can't you stop complaining?
Well, frankly, no, I can't.
Well, that's truthful at any rate. I think you'd better fly over here. I'm in the northeast quadrant. It's time for you to stand up and take your punishment like an angel.
The working conditions up here are really getting intolerable. Choir practice 3 times a day, wing inspection every 20 years, throne duty every century, and then you make the slightest mistake and Gabriel has you on the carpet. I'd like to tell you what I think about Gabriel. I really would, but I can't. I'm sorry. Angel's present.
Well, what's your explanation this time?
Well, it's like this, Gabe.
Don't call me Gabe.
I'm sorry, Gabriel. It's just that every few centuries or so, I get restless. You know, idle hands. I mean, it was only a minor miracle.
Zagzagal, I don't know what to do with you. You're full of the... I mean, you're incorrigible. I'm afraid you'll have to stand a departmental trial.
A departmental trial?
There's nothing else left to do. But first, we'll have to decide what to do with him.
With him? Who?
Oh, please, Dr. Gale, don't act so innocent. With that rabbi. Don't you think I know he's in the southwest quadrant on a cloud?
Gabriel knows all about it, of course. But he just has to have his little game. He knows perfectly well that I was assigned as guardian to this rabbi 45 years ago. He ought to. He assigned me to the job. It was quite a demotion, too, an assignment in Genesee County. Who ever heard of Genesee County? I could tell you the name of the rabbi and the community, but I'm not going to. There's absolutely no privacy in heaven. The least I can do as a self-respecting guardian angel is to see to it that there's a little privacy on earth.
All right, Zagzagal. Now let's review the facts.
But you know them all already.
Please, there are procedures. You take it on yourself to bring a live rabbi to heaven... No authorization, no coordination with the Department of Heavenly Records. No precedence for the case. Now, what's your defense?
There are mitigating circumstances.
Name them.
Oh, do I have to go into all that, Gabriel? I mean, really...
Zagzagal, this is a pre-trial examination. Now, don't test my infinite patience. Recite the facts.
I'm not going to burden you with all the facts I gave Gabriel. It's enough to say that I told him that being guardian angel to the rabbi was a very boring assignment right from the beginning. I watched him grow up. I watched him become a good student. I watched him lead his class at a theological school. Oh, I admit I had a flicker of pride the day he was ordained. But then he went and took that pulpit in the dreary little town in Genesee County. Really, the assignment was a bore. There wasn't a thing for me to do. That's about what I told Gabriel, but he wasn't satisfied, not Gabriel.
And you call that a mitigating circumstance? That you found your assignment boring?
Well, it's just that there was nothing to do, Gabriel, nothing at all. So I began to devote my attention to details. Little details. I just wanted to be helpful.
What little details, Uxagail?
Well, that matter of the congregation's talking.
Talking?
Talking. Every time the rabbi got up to deliver a sermon, someone in the congregation would be talking. It got so I couldn't stand it. Every Saturday morning for 20 years, I've watched. And just as the rabbi gets into the pulpit, during that little pause between the service and the sermon, some man leans toward his neighbor and says,
"Want to play golf tomorrow, Joe?"
Or one of the women whispers,
"I've been thinking about it, Sylvia. Not a theater party this year. A strawberry festival."
And the rabbi, what does he do when this happens?
Nothing, Gabe. Absolutely nothing. He just stands there and waits for them to quiet down. I tell you, Gabriel, that rabbi, he's an absolute angel.
Oh, very good, Uxagail. But now we're up to this morning and your indiscretion.
You're prejudging me.
Nothing of the sort. What happened this morning?
Ah, yes, this morning. Well, it's a beautiful spring day down there in Genesee County this morning, Gabriel. If you'd take your nose out of that record book, you could see it. You see plants pushing up through the soil, birds singing, sap rising.
Please, Uxagail, I'm familiar with the awakening of nature. What happened inside the synagogue?
Well, just about half an hour ago, I was watching as usual. The rabbi walked to the pulpit when it came time to deliver his sermon. Now, he's particularly proud of this sermon. Worked on it since last Tuesday night, in fact.
And?
When he stood up, there was the most infernal gabble going on.
My friends, my sermon today...
It was the worst infraction in 20 years. It must have been the weather or something. They just wouldn't stop talking.
My dear friends, I would like to begin my sermon.
Nothing would stop their talking. Really, it annoyed me terribly. You know how I hate people who talk too much.
I hadn't noticed.
No, it doesn't matter. Finally, the rabbi tried a third time.
My friends, I must ask you to allow me to proceed with the sermon.
But they went right on. Really, it was just too much for an angel to bear. Even the rabbi, after 20 years of suffering in silence, seemed just a little annoyed.
Did he tell the congregation that?
No. But a thought crossed his mind. Of course, I knew what it was. Angels can hear even the littlest thoughts, you know.
I'm familiar with the phenomenon. What was the thought?
Well, the rabbi listened to the buzz of the congregation for another moment. And then he thought...
I wish to heaven I had a quieter congregation.
That's reasonable.
Of course it's reasonable. And the second he thought it, I said to myself, at last, Uxagail, something to do. So I reached down, and faster than you can say Genesee County, I brought him up here for reassignment.
Well, I must say, you've got yourself into a fine mess, Uxagail, a very fine mess indeed.
Now, look, Gabe, I'm sure we can find him another congregation. Someplace interesting, maybe, San Francisco or Paris, maybe?
Silence!
Yes, sir.
I am not concerned about the rabbi. We can straighten out his situation. It's you I'm considering.
Me?
You forget that this is a pre-trial examination.
I'd like to, but you don't let me.
Nonetheless, it is. And your defense is weak, to say the least. Boredom is no excuse for an angel. Angels are not bored, Uxagail.
They're not?
They're not. The only possible defense you have when you come to judgment is...
Is the goodness of the rabbi?
Precisely.
Gabriel... For your own good, I advise you to drop the entire proceeding.
What's that? What's that you're saying?
If my case rests on the goodness of the rabbi, I've won it. Really, Gabe, as a friend of yours, I'd advise you to drop the whole matter like a hot potato. Now, you know, you may have seniority, but...
I'll worry about myself, Uxagail. Just now, we'll concern ourselves with... I'm ready to take your testimony, and please...
Please what?
Please, no ethereal poetry, just the facts, the plain, unvarnished facts.
Well, now, point one...
Yes?
Point one, the rabbi's congregation needs him.
The congregation needs him. And that's your defense for bringing him here for reassignment? Oh, that's completely illogical.
Now, Gabe, one point at a time. I'm trying to show that the rabbi is so good that any angel might have made the same mistake. The fact that the congregation needs him is a material argument.
Completely illogical, Dr. Gale. But for the sake of peace, I'll go along with you. Now, what's the proof?
Lots of proof. May I use your special events receiver?
Oh, if necessary.
I'll just tune back to the minute I snatched him. That is, the minute I brought him up here. There it is. Now listen.
The rabbi. What's happened to the rabbi?
He's disappeared. He's completely disappeared.
Now, just a minute, everybody,
oh,
please. As the president of the congregation, I ask for order. Now, did anyone see the rabbi leave?
Leave? He didn't leave. He evaporated.
Now, just one minute, please.
Well, I know.
Let me have a look at the pulpit. There's not a sign of him here, except his shoes.
His shoes? The rabbi's shoes are there?
Right where he was standing.
Well, what are we to do?
No, there's nothing to do except go on with the service.
Well, Mr. President, don't you think we should call the police?
Maybe. After the services. I don't think the police are very effective in cases of evaporation of rabbis. Maybe the services themselves are more effective. I think we should pray for the return of the rabbi.
All right, then, let's pray.
Before we start, there's something I want to say.
What's that?
I notice one of the rabbi's shoes has a hole in it. When he gets back, maybe we should consider a raise in his salary.
Not very convincing, Zagzagel. Not convincing at all.
Well, that's just the way they are in Genesee County, Gabriel. Pretty cool-headed folks, that's what they are. But they sure need the rabbi.
They seem to be able to go right ahead with their services.
Doesn't that prove they need the rabbi? He's taught them that they can pray without him, but they're praying to have him back, aren't they?
They sing very nicely in Genesee County. Better than some folks I know up here, in fact.
Oh, please, Gabriel, no personal remarks.
Oh, but I don't think singing is admissible evidence. Now, if you look here at the code book...
Never mind, I take your word for it. You want further proof that they need the rabbi?
Anything you have to offer will be considered. That's as far as I can go.
Do you mind if I borrow your thought receiver?
Not at all. All facilities are available for your defense.
All right, then. Listen. Aha, there. We're tuned in to Mrs. Zinman.
At a time like this, he has to leave. Just when Marilyn finds a nice boy with the caterers ordered and everything. All the invitations out, too. This is terrible. Absolutely terrible. If the rabbi doesn't come back, who's going to marry my Marilyn?
Here, Gabriel, here's the president.
2 bar mitzvahs scheduled for next week, 3 the week after. That rabbi is so undependable.
And here's the president of the sisterhood, a very practical woman.
Now, let's see. Who can we get to take the rabbi's place at our next Bible study class?
You see, they really need the rabbi.
Zagzagel, every congregation needs a rabbi to perform marriages and officiate bar mitzvahs and conduct Bible classes. Oh, you're in bad shape, my boy. Very bad shape.
I didn't say I was through, did I?
You never do.
You know, this rabbi has interested several young men in Genesee County in studying for the rabbinate.
Interesting, but not too material.
He's built them a beautiful synagogue. Do you care to have a look?
Prayer isn't a matter of steel and stone, Dr. Gale.
He's very active in community organizations.
So are many men.
And in the pulpit. Such wisdom. Such eloquence.
I've warned you already. No poetry, please. Give me another fact.
A fact? All right, a fact. He's an understanding man. He understands children. Now, you take that time he had a boy who was a problem in the Hebrew school. The teacher didn't know what to do with him.
Rabbi, he's impossible.
No child is impossible, Miss Lerner. A child is a child.
You don't have him in class.
Yeah, that's true. But I expect to see him more often from now on. I've made him an offer.
You're appeasing
him? I've offered him a job.
What kind of a job?
As my special assistant. I think it'll give him a sense of importance.
Fine, Rabbi, fine. What's he supposed to do?
You know those back issues of study guides I have in my bookcase?
Of course I know them. There are hundreds of them.
I've asked him to file them for me. In order.
But, Rabbi, I spent hours filing those guides. They're in perfect order.
Don't you think I know that, Miss Lerner? Now hurry, get in there and mix them up.
Very nice, Axel. I must admit, very nice, but a little on the light side. Oh, you'll need something more substantial for your defense.
Well, now, perhaps the day he talked to the president of the congregation is what you're after. It was a meeting of the men's study group. The rabbi had just finished his lecture on the sayings of the fathers, and there was quite a good attendance.
Rabbi, I want to congratulate you. That's one of the finest classes I ever attended.
I agree with the president, Rabbi. It was one of the best.
And one of the most unsuccessful.
Gentlemen, listen to this. After a brilliant lecture like that, the rabbi says he's unsuccessful. You see, it's what I've been telling you. He's not only learned, he's modest, too.
Rabbi, I don't understand. What do you mean, unsuccessful?
You have to ask the president. He's the only one who can answer your question.
I can answer it, Rabbi? How?
You own a large business, don't you?
What's that got to do with what we're talking about, Rabbi?
I hear your employees want you to help them set up a pension fund.
Rabbi, we're talking about our study group. I'd be glad if you'd keep my business out of it.
I told you it was a very unsuccessful lecture.
Now, look here, Rabbi, what are you getting at?
All right, here, I'll show you. In the portion of the sayings of the fathers we've been studying, Simeon, the son of Rabban Gamaliel, said, "Not learning, but doing is the chief thing."
Did he also say I have to give my employees a pension fund?
No, he didn't say that.
That is, not if you don't care if my lecture was unsuccessful.
And the employees got their pension funds, Abigail?
They got it, Gabriel.
Oh. I shall make a note. Courage. But that's still not quite what I'm after.
The young couple he persuaded not to get divorced?
Noted. To try again.
His appeal to the mayor for better schools.
All very good. But not good enough. Now, look. I'm trying to do the best I can for you. Haven't you got something more dramatic? Something to capture the imagination of the court?
As a matter of fact, Gabe, I do. And when you hear this one, old fellow, if you're any kind of an archangel at all, you should promote me to the ranks of the senior seraphim.
When the rabbi first came to Genesee County 20 years ago, things were pretty bad. The county was in the grips of the Depression. You know, the sort of thing we used to call a famine. Well, he'd hardly got settled in the little house the congregation had provided for him when one day a man came to his door. The man's clothes were shabby, but his face looked more threadbare than his overcoat.
Are you the new rabbi?
Yes, I'm the rabbi. Come in, won't you?
I won't take long.
Oh, that's all right. Please, here. Sit down. I'm afraid I don't know you. What's your name?
The name doesn't matter.
It doesn't? What can I do for you?
Rabbi, I've come to make my peace with God.
Your peace with God?
Oh, you're in trouble. Real trouble.
A crime? Have you committed some kind of crime?
No. No, I haven't, Rabbi.
Oh, you can talk to me in confidence. I can advise you. I don't have to reveal anything, not even on the witness stand. You know that, don't you?
Yes, I know it, Rabbi. But I haven't committed any crime. I haven't done anything dishonest.
Well, then I don't understand. What do you mean you want to make your peace with God?
Rabbi, I...
Oh, don't be afraid. Go ahead. Tell me.
Rabbi, I'm planning to take my life.
The rabbi looked at the man that he'd never seen before. And the man looked at the rabbi he had never seen before. And for a moment, there was a silence between them.
My friend, do you consider yourself a religious man?
Rabbi, why do you think I came here?
But you can't make peace with God for committing suicide.
Why not? Won't he understand?
Well, he understands everything, but to destroy a life, even your own, that's a violation of the very fundamentals of Jewish law.
I can't help it. There's no other way.
But maybe you'd better tell me why.
I'm beaten, Rabbi. Beaten and broke, that's why.
What do you mean, beaten and broke?
I have no job. I have nothing to eat. I have no home.
There are others in the same terrible condition.
You don't understand, Rabbi. You haven't been here long enough. I had a big business here in this town until it failed.
Well, that's no reason to take your life.
I've gone on as long as I can. I can't stand it anymore. I sleep on a mattress on the floor in a friend's house. I and my wife on the floor.
You and your wife?
I can't stand it. I can't stand seeing her suffer anymore.
You can't stand seeing her suffer. You're married and you can't stand seeing your wife suffer.
Not another day.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry for you and I'm sorry for your wife. But I'm sorrier for her. Why don't you love your wife?
Don't love her. I adore her.
How dare you say you love your wife? You hate her. You despise her.
Don't say that, Rabbi.
I'll say what's true. You're willing to expose your wife to further poverty. You're ready to let her bear what you can't take.
That's not so.
Now, I don't want to say this, but I have to. I've never put eyes on you before. But you're a coward. Nothing but a coward.
I should have known better than to come here.
If you were any kind of a man at all, you couldn't do this thing.
I've told you the story. What do you expect me to do?
What did you say?
I said, what do you expect me to do? What can I do?
Good. Good. That's what I wanted you to say. If you're ready to do something, everything will be all right.
It worked out all right, too. The rabbi saved that man's life. And as I keep telling Gabriel, although he doesn't seem to be listening, if he who saves one life is as one who has saved the whole universe, why should his guardian angel be punished for bringing him to heaven for reassignment?
Because it's not done that way, Zagzagel. It's just not done that way.
He wished for a quieter congregation, didn't he? I still think he deserves
it. Perhaps he does and perhaps he doesn't. Why didn't you quiet the congregation, then?
Oh, Gabriel, you know better than that. I'm the rabbi's guardian angel, not the congregation's.
Oh, true. Yes, that's true.
Well, that's my defense.
Noted.
But there's just one other point I'd like to make.
I'm listening.
In that whole noisy congregation, in that whole gabbling group.
Yes?
The one who talks the most. The one who's always asking his neighbor about a golf date.
Yes, I'm aware of that.
Is the man whose life the rabbi saved. Oh. Gabriel looks thoughtful. That last point. I'm pretty sure I scored with that one. I tell you, when an angel's right, he's right.
Rabbi?
Hadn't you better use the voice of authority? You know, the one you use with me?
Not with the rabbi, Zagzagel. Rabbi, do you hear me?
I hear you, Gabriel.
Oh, Rabbi, as you've probably gathered, there's been a slight mix-up here.
Oh, I don't mind, Gabriel. It's been a very enjoyable trip. Very unusual.
Yes, your guardian angel, Zagzagel, is in some small difficulty over his error. But that needn't affect you.
Well, if there's anything I can do for Zagzagel...
Oh, you've done a great deal already. Now, there may be some merit in his notion of reassigning you.
Where would you like to go? Well, if you don't mind, Gabriel...
Anything you say. Genesee
County.
But that's where you've come from. And it is rather a noisy congregation.
Noisy or not noisy. Foolish or brilliant, bad or good, Gabriel... It's my congregation. Genesee County, please, Gabriel.
I begin to understand Zagzagel's mistake, Rabbi.
Thank you, Gabriel.
We would appreciate your discretion in keeping this whole matter private, Rabbi.
Huh? Oh, you have my word, Gabriel.
Oh, that's more than enough for me, Rabbi. Well, ready?
Quite ready, Gabriel.
Goodbye, then. And, oh, yes.
What, Gabriel?
Keep up the good work in Genesee County. And I'm sure you'll have a good trip back. Ready?
Quite ready, Gabriel.
Goodbye, then. And oh yes.
What, Gabriel?
Keep up the good work in Genesee County. I couldn't do better myself.
I can see that Gabriel agrees with me that I have a pretty strong defense. But he is a stickler for the rules and regulations. All that I can try for now is a postponement of the trial. I'd like to get this thing put off for, 120 years. You see, that rabbi from Genesee County, he's a very effective witness, and by then, he's sure to be back.
If you would like a copy of today's script, please send your name and address with 10 cents to cover the cost of postage to the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, 3080 Broadway, New York 27, New York. And now we take great pleasure in presenting General Melvin Krulowitz of the United States Marine Corps Reserve. General Krulowitz.
You all know that rabbis have their troubles and tribulations, and I'm sure it's true of all gentlemen of the cloth. From our script today, we can see that it sometimes is true even for angels. On this occasion, a time of year when we're all mindful of the celebration of Memorial Day, as a Marine, this is a fitting time to be reminded of the influence that spiritual leaders have had upon my life. I was brought up, under the benign influence of the Jewish Theological Seminary and celebrated my bar mitzvah in that great American ecclesiastical institution. When I read the Bible portion on that fateful day of my confirmation, I had to run the gauntlet of the greatest minds in Judaism, all sitting in the pulpit and each one giving me the sergeant major look. There was Solomon Schechter, its president,
who was called to the seminary from Cambridge University to become the great American leader of conservative Judaism, Louis Ginsberg, the world's greatest scholar in Talmud, Alexander Marx, under whose inspired leadership the library of the seminary grew to be the world-renowned repository of Semitic literatures, and their distinguished colleagues, all scholars of the highest standing. I was no angel, but to read my stint before them almost made me feel qualified. Now, after participation in four wars, I must say that the warming influence of the seminary's rabbis and chaplains in our military service has been a source of comfort to me and to thousands of servicemen of all religions throughout long years of service. I spent some time in the Hawaiian Islands and visited Lahaina, where the mountains meet the sea. There's a school located in that village, which was established over 100 years ago by the visiting missionaries. That little country school, nestling in the mountains, has a most significant motto, which in English may be translated as, "The strongest winds from the mountains cannot extinguish the torch of our learning." So it can be said of the great centers of religious, cultural, and spiritual values in our glorious land. No ill wind of adversity from any quarter can ever extinguish their effectiveness in giving real purpose and inner security to our lives.
Thank you, General Kulowitz. Our eternal light drama today, The Guardian of Genesee County, was written by Mark Siegel. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. Featured in the cast were Mandel Kramer, Mercer McLeod, Betty Kane, David Gothard, Raleigh Bester, Roger DeCoven, Norman Rose. This is Mel Brandt. The Eternal Light is directed by Daniel Sutter. This weekly program is presented under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is the NBC Radio Network.